Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 5, verses 40 to 44. John chapter 5, verses 40 to 44. And keep in mind this question as we read the passage. How can you believe? How can you believe? Let's read John chapter 5, verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, in this passage, you know, the kids had a favorite expression there for a while, and it was a one-word expression. They'd say, not. And when you read through the passage here, you'll find that every verse has that word in it. You will not come to me. I receive not honor from men. I know you that you have not the love of God in you. You receive me not. You seek not the honor that cometh from God only. You see those words, not, 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 every time you go down the way there. And what's happened is that Jesus Christ is pointing out something to them. Now, in this passage, Jesus Christ is addressing the Pharisees that persecuted him and tried to slay him. Back there in verse 16 of John chapter 5, the Bible says, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. See that? They didn't like the fact that he healed a man. And so they wanted to persecute him and slay him. They sought the more to kill him in verse 18. Because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And so he asked that group that wanted to kill him, to slay him, to persecute him, he asked that group, how can you believe? And you know something? Belief is the ultimate problem. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ left the earth to go back to heaven, at his ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit, said he would. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin. And according to John chapter 16, verse 9, the reason the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin is because they believe not on me. That's the problem. That is the ultimate problem with everybody who has difficulty with the Bible and difficulty with the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to believe him. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is the great passage on how to be saved. You know, the one that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice both of those passages. The man has to believe in his heart. But verse 16 goes on to say, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the ultimate problem with men is the problem of belief. And this group of people that Jesus Christ was addressing here, these ones that wanted to persecute him, to slay him, to kill him, were not going to believe Jesus and the witnesses of Jesus Christ, the ones that we studied in John chapter 5, verses 32 to 39, John the Baptist, the Father, Jesus Christ himself, and the scriptures. They were not going to believe Jesus Christ. They were not going to believe the witnesses of Jesus Christ because of some things that they would not do. These nots that Jesus Christ spoke of in verse 40 and 41 and 42 and 43 and 44. And these are the same problems and the same things that keep any man from believing Jesus Christ. So the question for our study today is this: how can you believe when, first of all, you won't come to Jesus? Look at verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. See that? Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Well, how are you going to believe when you won't come to Jesus? You know, it's an amazing thing, but in dealing with people about their souls, about eternity, they dance around all of their opinions and their religious training and doctrines that they have adopted and their indifference toward things of eternity when they're young, and refuse to come to the only source of life in this universe, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John the Baptist said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, the one who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke of Jesus and said, We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So if you were ever going to have any hope of having life in this world, you would go to Jesus. And not only if you were a lost person hoping to have eternal life, but also as a saved person hoping to find some solution to the problems that you're having in this life. I know many Christians. I don't know any Christians in this world that are not faced with problems. If they're not facing personal medical problems, they're facing medical problems for friends of theirs or for family friends of theirs and relatives. Or financial problems, or emotional problems, or marital problems, or problems raising kids, or problems in the job, or problems in the mind. Any numbers of problems, or problems with regulations. I mean, just whatever it could be, there are problems in life. And it is funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, unusual, odd, that Christians would go to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe him for salvation, but would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe him for the solution to their problems. Jesus Christ said, My God, or Paul said, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And they'll turn to every source of help in the world before they'll turn to the Lord Jesus. And so they continue to encounter problems. And the question is, how are you going to believe when you won't come to Jesus? You know what Jesus said to all of us, those who are lost, those who are saved? He said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you know, people look at their situation in life and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe this is a situation that Jesus Christ can handle. Let me tell you, I came to the end of the rope in my life. And I did not think there was any possible way in the world that Jesus Christ could repair the damage that I had done in my own life to my own testimony. I told him, I said, you know, if you can fix this, then keep me alive so you can fix it. But if not, take me now. I can't. I've made such a mess. And the next morning I woke up and I began to see a very slow, methodical, and that's usually the problem. Jesus doesn't do it as fast as we want him to, but a very slow, methodical repairing of life in my life. And Jesus Christ began to fix it up and fix it up and fix it up and fix it up. And today I sit here in awe before the Lord God and say, I can't believe that he did all that he has done. But in fact, I had to believe Jesus Christ because I had no other choice. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And today I stand here before you in rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you're going to find the solution to your eternal problems, if you are going to find the solution to your temporal problems, you are going to have to go to Jesus. And while it may seem unbelievable that he can handle the problem, in fact, he is the only one that can solve every need that you have, both here and hereafter. So how are you going to believe when you won't come to Jesus? But that's not all. How can you believe when you won't honor Jesus? Look at verse 41. I receive not honor from men. Now, I understand that Jesus Christ was saying to the Pharisees, I didn't come here for you to honor me. When I want honor, I get honor from God Almighty. So I don't receive honor from men. I'm not a politician running for office. I'm not looking for votes. I'm not looking for accolades. I don't want to be in who's who in America. I don't want to be in who's who in the world. I didn't come here for the acclaim of sainthood. I don't get my honor from men. I get it from God Almighty. I realize that's what he's saying. But you know something? He's also saying, you don't honor me. I receive not honor from men. You're not honoring me. You want to kill me. You want to persecute me. You want to slay me. Well, how are you going to believe when you won't honor Jesus? God honored him. He said, and Peter even recounted this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. They're standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. A cloud overshadows all of them. A voice spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God honored the Lord Jesus Christ by speaking from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen, there's no higher honor that any man could possibly get in all of the world. In sports, they have the most valuable player, and that's an honor to be recognized by all of the fans and all of your teammates and all of the coaches. This person is the most valuable player in our sport. That's a real honor. Tremendous honor. It is whether you're in high school or college or professional sports to know that you've been acclaimed as the most valuable player. That's something. But that is absolutely worthless compared to God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There's no higher honor in the world. If you're an actor, they'll give you an Oscar if you gain great honors. If you're a singer, I guess it is, or a Broadway actor, whatever it is, and they give them the Emmys. You can tell I really keep up with this stuff. That's a great honor if that's your field. If you're in science and world peace, they give you the Nobel Peace Prize. That's supposed to be some great honor. But you know, none of those honors are worth anything compared to honor that comes from God Almighty. And Jesus Christ got that honor from God. And he said, you know something? If my Father's going to honor me, you should honor me. Heaven does. When you read in Revelation chapter 4:11, John gets up there and he sees all around the throne what's going on with everything that God Almighty created. Everything is worshiping Jesus Christ. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Jesus Christ is worthy of your honor. As a matter of fact, during the millennial reign of Christ, when Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem and ruling the world, the nations of the earth are going to bring their glory and honor to Jesus Christ. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, into the gates of the city, and they will bring that glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if they're going to do it, and if everything that was created does it, and if God Almighty did it, why can you not honor Jesus? You've got to honor him. You've got to honor him. If you hope to be able to get anything in the way of eternal life and solution to your problems here, you've got to honor God. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, we read this, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Well, those Pharisees despised Jesus Christ, so he lightly esteemed them. And by 70 A.D., their precious temple and their precious city, Jerusalem, had been totally destroyed, and they'd been run out of the country by Titus. It was at 40 years after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that there was a total wipeout of everything they wanted. They wanted the gold, they wanted the sacrifices, they wanted the honor, they wanted the uppermost seats in Moses, they wanted everything. And the Lord said, how are you going to believe when you won't honor me? You won't honor Jesus? Then how are you going to believe? You can't. You can't. Talk to people about their soul. They honor the Pope. They honor their religion. They honor Joseph Smith. They honor Judge Rutherford. They honor all the men of the world. John Wesley and John Knox. They honor the men, but they will not honor Jesus. You're never going to get anywhere by faith if you don't honor Jesus. But he said, that's not all. How can you believe when you won't come to Jesus? How can you believe when you won't honor Jesus? How can you believe when you won't love God? Verse 42, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I know you. Oh, you know that had to infuriate them. I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. That's very important. The greatest commandment in the Bible, numero uno, big shot, number one deal. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the commandment. Not thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second commandment. All the charitable organizations are built on putting the second commandment above the first. Humanity above God. But that's not the great commandment. The great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy heart. And he said, I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. Paul said to us, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Jesus Christ said, if you want to get things straightened out with me and have an eternity of happiness, he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you know what the problem with the Pharisees was? Their treasure was down here. The love of money is the root of all evil. It led to their envy. It led to their blasphemy. It led to their eventual destruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you don't love God. And you know something? It's easy for you to say, I love God, but the truth of the matter is, does your life, does your affection, does your imagination, does your thought life, in fact, substantiate your confession? Had an opportunity to witness to a lady the other day, and she said, I know I'll be in heaven. And I said, how come? She said, because I'm good. I keep the commandments. I do the things that are told me to do. I said, well, do you know what the great commandment is, the very first commandment? She said, yes, it's honor thy father and thy mother. I said, no, that's the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the earth. It's a good commandment. It's not the first one. I said, what's the first one? She said, well, I know the other commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. I said, those are all commandments, and they're all good, but what's the first commandment? She said, I don't know, I can't quote it. I said, do you even have a clue? She said, no, I don't. I don't know what it is. I said, isn't that amazing? You think you're good enough to make it into heaven because you do those other things that you mentioned, but you can't even mention the first commandment? I said, have you read the Bible? She said, I've read it all very carefully. And I said, even with that, you can't give the first commandment? She said, no, I can't. I said, it is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. I said, if you can't even recite that one, and you cannot do that one, and you do not love God, then how do you expect that you will be with God in eternity? And you know what her answer was? Because I'm good. Jesus looked at these Pharisees who also thought they were good and said, you know what the problem is? You don't love God. And I want to say to you, how can you believe when you won't love God? Now, you've got to think about your life. Look at last week. Look at every hour of every day that you spent during the week. And consider your affection. You loved your children. You loved your spouse. You loved your job. You loved your employer. You loved the money that you had and the things that it could buy. You loved your favorite TV program. You loved your favorite movie. You loved your favorite song that you heard on the radio. You say, yeah, I love that song. It's favorite. Oh, I love that food. You know, somebody invited you out to eat, and you went to your favorite restaurant, and the person came in and gave you the specials for the day and said, we're having such and such pasta special. And you go, oh, I love that. I'll take that. Your friend called, and you said, I love you. And all those things you did last week where you used the expression love, how many times did it come out of your mouth, come into your mind, and enter into your heart that you needed to love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your heart? And you say, you know what? It didn't enter into my mind. It didn't enter into my heart. It didn't enter into my soul. You know why? Because you don't love God. So how are you going to believe if you don't love Him? But that's not all. How can you believe when you won't come to Jesus? How can you believe when you won't honor Jesus? How can you believe when you won't love God? How can you believe when you won't receive Jesus? Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You know the big problem with people and not getting saved? They will not receive Jesus. They won't. You talk to them about things in the Bible. You talk to them about what Jesus Christ said. You try to get them to come to a place where they'll understand that salvation is in the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will not receive Him. Jesus said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you're going to get saved, you are going to have to receive Jesus Christ. But you won't do it. He that receiveth you, Jesus said, talking to His disciples, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to receive the testimony that I've just given you. You've got to receive what I'm saying. And then you have to receive the man Jesus Christ. And when you do that, then you will be receiving the testimony of God Almighty. You'll have God Himself. But you've got to receive Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what Jesus said? You're not going to receive me. He said, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So there are over a billion people on the face of this earth that have received Muhammad and Allah. And Allah is a fake God. He's not real. There's no such thing as the real God. He's not the Lord God of the Bible at all. People say, oh, if you're Muslim and you follow Allah, or if you're Buddhist and you follow Buddha, or if you're Catholic and you follow the Pope, all these lead to the same thing. We all worship the same God. That is a crock of cheese that was handed to you by the big rat that comes out of hell himself. That's the devil's lie. Allah is not God. He's not the Lord God. He never will be. He's a moon god. One of several that were chosen by the people that were over there, and they finally just elevated him to the status of the supreme God for the Muslims. He's not God, and any man that follows him and keeps all of his religions and all of his dictate is going to wind up in hell. Why? Because they will not receive Jesus. Period. So it goes for all the other religions of the earth. He said, if a man comes in his own name, him you will receive. Eventually, that will be the devil himself who will pose as God, sit in the throne of God, professing himself to be God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, saying, I am Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, saying, I am God, and the world will go after him, hook, line, and sinker. And they'll all wind up in hell, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and there is no rest day and night. You've got to receive Jesus, or you have no hope of eternity whatsoever. No chance. Now, how can you believe when you won't come to Jesus, when you won't honor Jesus, when you won't love God, when you won't receive Jesus, and then finally, when you won't seek honor that comes from God only? Look at verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do you want honor from God like Jesus Christ got honor from God? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then you're going to have to love him and you're going to have to serve him. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And I'm going to tell you the thing that characterizes this generation is they love their own lives. They want their vacations, they want their four-day work weeks, they want their raises, they want their bonuses, they want their retirements, they want their Social Security, they want their medication, they want everything. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will I my Father honor. You know what the trouble is? You won't seek honor from God because you want honor from men today. And that's what Jesus said. You receive honor one of another. It doesn't make any difference what your fellow man thinks of you. The question is, what does God think of you? And God thinks of you as nothing until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and then until you follow him. And then he says, there's my beloved Son. There is my child, and he'll treat you just like the loving father you want him to be to you. So if you're having trouble with belief, then you'll know it's one of five things. You either won't come to Jesus, you won't honor Jesus, you won't love God, you won't receive Jesus, or you won't seek the honor that comes from God only. It's one of those, or a combination thereof. I pray to God you'll be able to find it and straighten it out today.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.